been talking a lot of football this morning, but basketball season is about to get revved up as Arkansas will have their very first exhibition game of the season happening this Sunday at 3 p.m., which it's a bigger deal, too, because the court's also going to be named after Nolan Richardson. So there's a lot of excitement about Razorback basketball. And to help us talk a little more about it, why not just have the head man himself, Coach Eric Musselman, head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Coach, appreciate you joining us this morning. How you doing?
No, it's great to come on with both of you guys. Appreciate it, John. Tom, appreciate you having me on.
Of course. We always appreciate having you on. And I just want to ask, since this is heading into your first year of being the head coach of Arkansas, around this time, how do you get? Do you get excited? Do you get anxious? How are you just getting pumped up for this season? Do you want to just get it going right now?
It depends how practice goes. It varies from day to day how you feel. But our guys have really, really worked hard. They've done an incredible job of buying into it. You know, anytime that there's a coaching change, there's always, people are not used to the system. They're not used to the way of practice. It doesn't matter what sport or what coach it is. And then the first thing you got to try to do is kind of lay the foundation for how you want to do things. And you're trying to work both sides of the ball, offensively, defensively, special team situations, meeting after timeouts, free throw situations, what you're going to do. We call all those special situations. So we're slowly but surely working our way to laying the foundation for not only how we want to play, but also now as we're getting closer to games, roles start being defined, starting lineups start being defined. And really, these two exhibition games will allow us to watch our players under the lights with fans. And then you add in the throwback game that we've already played. That'll give us three times that we can try to evaluate our guys. I think really the biggest difference that I've found between the NBA and there's a lot of differences between the NBA and college, but one of the things this time of year that I always reflect back on is exhibition games. In the NBA, you play five or six exhibition games, and actually it used to be there was seven or eight exhibition games, and it allowed you, your team, to kind of get into the flow of what the season's like. In college, it's not that way at all, and that's kind of why we've elected to have games in front of our fans, because you're either allowed to play two or one exhibition-type setting, or you could do two secret scrimmages behind closed doors, and we have, through experience, felt that the secret scrimmages don't give our players the popcorn's popping, the lights are on, fans are in the building. So for all those reasons, it makes a lot of sense to have these exhibition games.
What has changed with the college basketball calendar? Because it used to seem like these exhibition games happened in early November, and then things got going on the Division I level like the second Saturday in November. It seems like everything's shifted up, Coach, a couple of weeks. Is that indeed the case this year?
Well, no question. Actually, it used to be the very first practice was October 15th. That used to be your first practice. So they moved those, from 4 hours a week up to 20 hours a week. And so everything's kind of changed. But I do think it's a little bit for the better. We're able to have a little bit more of a longer training camp this way, and I think the players need it. When you're dealing with student athletes, the age of our players, player development is paramount to an individual player, and it's also so important for your team development as well. So I think that moving it up a little bit has helped. It allows you a little bit more time now between exhibition games and your opener to evaluate your team and use the film as a teaching tool as well.
Now, Coach, you've been the coach now for quite some time. You've been able to see some practices, some scrimmages, obviously the red-white game. But just at this point in time, especially from some of the players that were held over from the previous regime, who has really stood out to you? Who's really impressed you in the buy-in and the way that they've been performing in practices? Who's the guy that's really stood out?
Well, I think, what we did is we actually had our players, we put three categories. Things like leadership, which player's been the most communicative, meaning talking on defense, echoing play calls, and then who's led through example on off hours with their work ethic. Desi, actually won all three of those. And that was voted on not by the coaches, but by his teammates. So he's really taken a huge step in a leadership role. He's not an overly talkative young man, but he's done a great job of trying to lead by example and communicating much more than he did his freshman year, which is an incredible sign for him in his growth, both on the floor and then off the floor. And then obviously Isaiah Joe, we're going to need him to get as many good quality looks. And it's up to the coaching staff to try to get a little bit creative this year on some of the offensive sets and wrinkles that he's going to need this year, because he's now the focal point of every scouting report, whereas last year, obviously, with Daniel Gaffney, things were a little bit different because you had him to deal with inside. And so now every team that plays us is going to be talking about trying to take away the three ball from Isaiah. And so it's a little bit of that burden is going to be on the coaches to try to help him get as many quality shots as possible. And then, when we played in front of people, which is just once, and then we also opened the doors for media day, Connor Vanover's played incredible. He has elevated his game in the two public settings that we've had, although, we don't know if he's going to be in uniform this year, but... So those are some of the guys, and then our point guards, both Jalen Harris and Jimmy Witt, both guys have done a really good job from a defensive standpoint, and both of them understand our offense as well as anybody on our roster.
Connor Vanover was my next question, and I don't know how much you can comment, or what can you say about his status, and when is the NCAA going to give you an answer?
Well, we're cool, waiting. I'd rather wait than get an answer we don't want right away. So, we're fine waiting. It really doesn't affect how we maneuver on a day-to-day basis. His player development and how he was integrated into the team with all of our guys that sit out as transfers, we treat them no differently than our starter or our most important player in uniform, because these guys, when you do have to sit out for a year, it's a hard year for a player. So, it really doesn't affect us until we get right around November, 3rd or 4th, when we start really getting ready for that opener. So we're patiently waiting, although, we're kind of acting as if he will be in a development year and not on the floor. But that's not bad. That's not so bad either. You're talking about, a player that can use the weight room if, in fact, he does not get the waiver.
Yeah. So without his height, that gives you some challenges with overall team height. And in a year where the shot clock rules change, the three-point line changes, which changes spacing, how do you address the lack of height with your team? Does that change the way and the style you want to play? Or how do you address people that have concerns about the lack of height and with your roster?
Well, first of all, we have the same concerns as a fan does with our lack of height. And if anyone knows where we can grab a big guy, please let us know. We're open to suggestions, because we tried in a short period of time. Any head coach that gets a job after the NCAA tournament, really, you're talking most of the high school players in that class are gone and off the board, and historically grad transfers and transfers bigs are a little bit more difficult. So, in reality, we did get a big from Stetson. We did get Connor, who's got great size. So we did get two guys, and then we're really lucky that we got John Talsilla, a 6'7" player, who is going to be a guy that we're going to need to have a good year. So in a short period of time, we did add a little bit of size. Two of them obviously could sit out guys. But we're going to have to get creative. The good thing at Nevada, for three of the 4 years I was there, we really played without a center, and we spaced the floor. And the key to that is how well can the guys that are playing the 4 or 5 shoot the basketball, and that's going to be a really key for us, because if those guys are not knocking down shots, then the floor spacing becomes a little bit more difficult.
Now, Coach, you've coached a lot of different players, a lot of different teams at a lot of different levels. You've watched a lot of film. I mean, you know the game of basketball, and you know good teams and bad teams and whatnot. And I think Razorback fans are at an all-time high for their excitement, at least in quite some time for basketball. But just in your mind, how good can this team be this year? NCAA tournament is always the goal for everybody, but just from being around these guys, how good can this team be this year?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, the media looked at our roster we just came from Isaiah and Desi, and I just came from Birmingham yesterday at media day. I heard a lot of questions about us being predicted 11th preseason. If you look at our team, yes, we've added Jimmy Witt. Yes, we've added, guys like Silla that are going to be able to help us as grad transfers, but the roster lost a really big piece, an NBA draft pick, who is really unique in his size and his length and his athleticism. So we are going to miss that. You know, now the question is, can we as a group kind of come up with a style and a system that works best, and then how quickly can we figure that out? Because, you know, I can even remember working with Chuck Daly, with the Orlando Magic, a Hall of Fame coach, his last coaching stint. He used to tell our staff in training camp that it takes 50 games to get to know your NBA team. Now, obviously, that's NBA, but the point of it is we're going to try to have to figure this thing out as quick as we can, and the way that we look, you know, the game against Rice might be different once we hit SEC play. So we're going to have to try to continue to work as a group and tinker and see what fits us best. But the biggest key is, can we play with maximum effort, energy, and enthusiasm, and just take one game at a time? And if you do that, good things usually happen.
Head Coach Eric Musselman with us here on the Morning Rush Recruiting Thursday, brought to you by Razorback Camper Sales, exit 1 off the bypass in Hot Springs, and online at RazorbackCamperSales.com. Coach, do you feel like your culture is ingrained in the program? You said it's good, you know, and at the pros it takes 50 games to kind of really know your team. Is there still work to do to get your culture ingrained with this roster and this team, or do you think you're there yet?
Well, I think that, that word culture is just used like so broadly in today's business world and also in the athletic field. But having said that, culturally, from a non off-season phrase or standpoint, yes, we have, because when you walk into our gym 6 in the morning before guys have class, guaranteed there's guys shooting. If you walk into our gym on a weekend night at 10 o'clock at night, the lights are on and somebody's in there shooting. So when you come to one of our practices, some guys are down there shooting an hour and a half before, and many guys stay 45 minutes after a physical hard practice. So culturally, there's no doubt from an off-season standpoint we have. Now the question that remains, now the games are coming, so roles are formed. What's going to happen if a player thinks he's going to get more shots than what really happens in a game, and how do guys handle traveling and having their class work and then practice? So all the in-season stuff we're about to embark on, but we do feel like culturally the guys have done exactly what we've asked. But as in any season, there's always, turbulence. There's ups, there's downs, and then it's how strong your bond is as a group to go through those periods of time and still compete on a nightly basis.
Is the extra distance on the three-point line going to affect Isaiah Joe or any of the other shooters this year? Have you seen anything in practice that says, this is going to be a little bit different this year?
I don't think so. I think that the further out three-point line, at least philosophically, we're hopeful that it helps Isaiah. It separates him from other average shooters because he is a great shooter. We've worked a lot with Desi on the range. We hope that the line moving back helps him as well. Same thing with Mason Jones. Mason and Isaiah Those two guys in particular have shown no change in their shot form. I do think that for guys that are not great shooters, we're talking about average shooters or shooters trying to become three-point shooters, but there's a lot of those in college that are trying to become more proficient three-point shooters. I think those guys might struggle a little bit more across the board, meaning across college basketball. So we're very, very hopeful that Mason and Isaiah can really open up the floor with their three-point threats that can open up dribble drives for guys like Jimmy Witt and Jalen Harris.
Well, Coach, well, tell us about Sunday, because, you know, normally an exhibition game is just an exhibition game, but this one's got a little added spice to mm-hmm. it. Of course, with the court being honored and named after Nolan Richardson, you're also playing Little Rock.
Yep.
That does not happen often, especially in basketball, where you play an in-state school. There's a lot of different pieces going on, so what can you tell us about Sunday? What can fans expect, and how excited are you to see not only the game and the going up against Little Rock, but all the things surrounding it with Coach Richardson?
Yeah, we're so excited. I mean, first of all, we try to do everything we can as a new staff to embrace, you know, the history and the past of this storied program. And Coach Richardson's been awesome. You know, I think one, just the court part of it is cool, and it's so well deserved because of how many games he's won and what he's been to the university. And it's the really neat thing is. You know, to have former players coming back. Yesterday, Corey Beck called me and said, "Coach, how do I get tickets? And what about the little event beforehand with Coach?" And Clint McDaniels, who I coached at one point, Clint's coming back, and just to kind of get these phone calls of guys that maybe I've coached in the past, and those two guys in particular, to hear their excitement about what's going on. And then obviously the really, really neat thing is, one, the game is played for, you know, for the flood victims. And so it makes perfect sense to do it with Little Rock. And then you add in the fact that Darryl Walker played here, is one of the all-time great players here, is a great guy and is a friend. I think it, the game all around makes perfect sense. You know, it's a great way to honor Coach Richardson and the new court design. I think our fans are going to like, so there's a lot of anticipation amongst our own players, amongst alumni, boosters, former players, and it's a great way for us to, you know, to play on a stage that's just not a normal game. So I mean, there's going to be a little bit different feel to it with former great players walking around for our own players to see. And so we feel it's a great way to start the season.
All right, again, tickets are $10 this Sunday. It's first come, first serve on seating. Parking is open around the campus, so folks can show up, bring the family. And again, the $10 ticket, which is not included in season tickets, if you're a season ticket holder, all that money, as you mentioned, goes to the flood victims from the floods earlier in this year that really, from one end of the state to the other, people were affected.
No question. You know, our staff, administration, everybody sat down, and there's not a lot of these Division I games, meaning Division I against Division I, as exhibitions. You have to do these for a natural disaster. And so, you know, we're fortunate that everybody got together and we're playing this game for a great cause, and should be an exciting day.
Coach Eric Musselman, the head Razorback basketball head coach. Really appreciate you hopping on with us, Coach. Have fun this Sunday, and good luck the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
I always appreciate it,
Talk
Coach.
Talk to you soon.
Coach and all guests.
Join
us. Throw it in right there at the end. Very nice. Had to throw it in at the very end. And all guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.